Cape Talk.
DIY.
Mr. DIY himself, Angela D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants. Welcome back to Cape Talk. Great to have you with us again this year.
Thank you. I hope you had a good break.
I did, thanks. And you too?
Yes, I did.
Good. Now, obviously, a lot of what we're talking about here spills over into your field of construction, etc. And what are the implications for the construction industry is the first SMS I look at when I look at my screen.
Well, you know, strangely enough, I'm dealing with that issue at the moment. I'm trying to understand what are we going to do in terms of moving forward after you know, the 21st of April.
Yeah.
Because although high-pressure machines use less water, they still use water. And we don't have that water to waste. Mm. So where are we going? And I know, for example, council's selling purified water at the moment, and contractors can buy that. But you know, if you suddenly got new development going on, which I think is a problem because you use a lot of water there, and then on the redeck side, all this together amounts to a large amount of water. So I am actually trying to set up a meeting to have confirmation of where we're going with this and how it's going to affect the guys, because we're talking about a lot of jobs.
Mm. Well, James, in fact, is on the line from Claremont wanting to talk about exactly that, new housing developments. James, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. Yes, I have family who have bought they've moved into a house in the new Garden City development near Sunningdale, where there are literally hundreds and hundreds of houses. Not one of them has a water tank. In addition to that, the outlet pipes from the shower are actually bolting to the ground. You know, so one gets so frustrated that the city did not have any vision whatsoever to implement, even in an emergency basis, some kind of, a system for new housing development such as that. And the second comment I have, I've gone to considerable expense to have three water tanks installed around my house.
Mm.
And I'm very proud of that. I actually wear it as a badge of honor. And my garden is looking beautiful from that water. But I really don't understand how people can wear a beautiful garden as a badge of honor when they're using a borehole water. I would actually be embarrassed in front of my neighbors to show. It's almost like giving your neighbors a middle finger.
It really is. Yeah.
And those are my two comments.
They're both very pertinent comments, James. I mean, Angelo, it would seem like a no-brainer that the first thing you do is say, we're going to rethink approval of developments, but if we are going to approve them, that water-saving features and water recycling and reuse and grey water plumbing systems should be an absolute non-negotiable.
It has to be in. They have to legislate it. I mean, in the UK, if you had solar systems, et cetera, you got a tax, you got a rates and taxes rebate. Mm. Why aren't we doing that? You know, why aren't we looking at saying, guys, if you install two water tanks and a grey water system and you have solar panels, then, you know, your taxes are reduced by 25%, whatever the case is, something.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be doing that, because how you develop, you know, 100, 200, 300 houses without having even thought about this is just mind-boggling, mm-hmm. actually.
Gershon and Paul, good afternoon.
Hi, Papa, good afternoon. Okay, my comment is this. If I can just give you a quick background. I'm over the age of retirement. I have spent quite a bit of money to get myself off the grid completely where water is concerned. I've got a bit of groundwater, and I use all my grey water to flush back through the toilets, and so on and so on. Now, I've got some guys that I take home on Fridays and on Saturdays to a local area in Palia, and the amount of water wastage that is going on there. There's one spot in Bakweni where there's about six or seven taxis pulled up on a Friday evening. They all have got hose pipes going. When the guy's finished rinsing his vehicle, he just throws the hose pipe on the ground and it still runs.
Sure.
Now, I want to know, who on earth, I actually wanted to use the word who in hell is monitoring that? Who's policing that? They're doing absolutely nothing to police those guys who are not even paying for this water. I'm sure that that's illegal connections, and I'm sure that they are just wasting, because there's absolutely no retribution there. You know, they They don't even pay R1 for that water, and they are the biggest wasters in this country. Somebody should just go there and look.
I was just going to ask, Gershon, have you reported it so that somebody knows to go there and look?
Yeah, look, I have. But, you know, it is the people we are paying through our taxes. It's their job to look at this and to do it. It's not really my job. I've taken photos and everything, but I hope there's some politicians listening. They must just go to those areas on a Friday evening and on a Saturday mornings and go and see what's going on there.
Okay, Gershon, thanks for your call. Angelo, you want to respond?
Yeah, it's a bit frustrating, I know, because you see this and you think no one's doing their job. But all you have to do is pick up the phone and report it. You have to tell somebody, because it's not like we isolated in a small area. It's massive. And things go wrong all the time. And there are people abusing the water regulations. We know that. But if you report it and you deal with it, then you've got something to work to. If you just say there, go and say, oh, well, they're wasting water and not doing anything.
Job.
It's not my job. Well, then actually you're not even being part of the community as far as I'm concerned.
Mm, I agree. We're at a point where we can't afford to say it's not my job.
Yeah.
We can't afford it any longer. And by the way, Zanthe Limburg was on a couple of days specifically making the point that people are reporting without evidence, which makes it very difficult. She said, if you send us a photograph, send us a video with a timestamp, etc., it makes it so much easier for them to follow up and not waste time. So please think about that. If you see this kind of flagrant abuse happening, take a photograph and send it to the city. We have shared those details with you many times. I'll look them up in the next break and repost the information there. Eve on the SMS line asking, what about those huge buildings going up in the city using so much pure water to mix concrete? Is that an absolute necessity?
Well,
Angelo?
You know, you can't, you know, we've had problems before with water and cement where, for example, the guys used water that had high mineral contents and the coatings and stuff actually came off. So, yes, but the point is, council we need to find a way. Maybe they need to buy purified water from the council, so council can then get some income and the contractor is not using potable water.
This is what it's going to come to.
We have to start looking at those type of things. I mean, we've been living in a lap of luxury for so long.
And paying too little for our water
And now it's a slap in the face and wake up. We've got to do something.
Yeah, here's an interesting SMS saying, interesting thought with all the complaints about borehole. But imagine if domestic borehole use had been stopped years ago. I wonder how long ago we would already have reached day zero, is that person's comment. A security guard to safeguard people when they queue for water. Do you really think that would work if people don't have water and are thirsty? Yeah, look, one of the comments I made earlier is that two of the things I foresee as a result of impending day zero, one is a new stream of crime relating to water, and the other is a new stream of entrepreneurship relating to water, servicing the people in the queue, etc. We don't know yet. We simply don't know the logistics of how it's going to work and whether there will be time frames for particular blocks and streets or how cash payments will happen or how it will be paid for. We simply just don't have that information yet. We're hoping we will have more clarity from the city at a follow-up briefing next week.
There was already, you know, at Spring Road in Newlands, there were some guys going and carrying
filling
the
up in
water.
The middle of the night, yeah.
No, but there were people standing there and offering to carry the 20-liter drums for people to the car. So that, you know, that entrepreneurship, people trying to help. But it's.
So two diametrically opposed views here. Mark in Tamboerskloof saying, since they are increasing the basic tariff for the first 6,000 litres per month by 600%, are they also going to increase the sewage tariffs by a similarly obscene amount? In his view, this is not a stealth tax. They're driving a bloody great juggernaut through it. That's from Mark in Tamboerskloof, very unhappy. At the same time, Alistair saying, I wish the city had implemented these harsher tariffs last year already. Then perhaps we wouldn't be in the crisis that we're facing now. Mandy and others asking about the sewage rate, whether it's going to rise in tandem. I don't know the answer to that question yet. I don't think any of us do. I haven't heard any direct reference to that as yet. Casey's saying, why not restrict water usage to 25 litres now? Let's keep getting it from the tap at least, rather than having to queue in the future. Okay, let's keep on talking about water. We're taking your calls on 021-446-0567. Your SMS is to 31567. If you have a question, a DIY question that ties, preferably tying into the theme of water and reticulation systems, etc., we will also take those. We didn't actually ask Angelo to speak water today. He came in for a general DIY segment. John in Langebaan wants to talk about building foundations. John, good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. This is a specific building, but there are very many buildings in and around Cape Town, particularly down on the foreshore, where you have foundations well underground, and they have pumps in their basement, and they've got seepage of groundwater on a continuous basis. And you're talking about tens of thousands of litres. By example, if as you come down Roland Street, there's a new high-rise building going up on your left-hand side, just after storage, next to the Technicons building, and you'll see that they've got pipes running out into the gutter in the road behind them. They are pumping out thousands of litres of groundwater continuously. And, you know, if you look at how many big buildings there are in Cape Town that are probably doing exactly the same thing and pumping this water to waste, surely to goodness some sort of system should be made where that water is rather collected.
Absolutely.
We are actually in discussions with that with some of our clients about using that underground water, especially our commercial clients who have many buildings. There needs to be purification, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not something that – it's something that can be done, and we are looking at it. So it's a valid point, and it is being looked at, or at least we are looking at it.
Okay, thanks for that, Angelo. Sorry, there was an SMS question I wanted to ask you. This is more pest than water related, but the two are linked, and it's not the first time this has been asked. Lots of people complaining about mosquito activity at the moment and wondering whether it is linked to the amount of standing water being kept in buckets and tanks, etc. My response last time I was asked that was that to me it just felt like the usual for this time of year in Cape Town.
Seasonal.
Any comments? Seasonal? Not necessarily linked to standing water?
Well, it is linked to standing water, because if you do have standing water, but we are going through the season when we do have mosquitoes. So yes, there are mosquitoes. I mean, whether it's a direct cause or not, I can't really answer. But, you know, if I, for example, when I was on holiday now, we had running water, but there were still mosquitoes. When I mean running water, we were right on the ocean. So, and there were still mosquitoes. So, you know, I suppose it's a little bit of both, but it's definitely season. I mean,
okay. I'm going to make a note to my producer. I'd like us to try and get an insect specialist to talk to us about mosquito activity and whether it is unusually high and what we should be doing about it. Because Steph is asking, how can you kill the mosquito larvae in rainwater buckets without killing plants? She's worried about mosquitoes breeding like crazy. Any ideas? We've had great suggestions on how to keep them from biting you at night using geranium oil and lavender oil, I believe, are the two that work best. Yeah. But any ideas for the buckets?
I must tell you, I bought a spray in the Philippines, and it was totally natural, and I've still got the bottle. So I'm going to tell you what it was when I...
Go and look it up and tell us what's in it.
And that worked, but I wouldn't know what to throw into the... I suppose a bit of chlorine, but you don't want to drink that.
Okay, now... So I'm going to throw somebody under the bus a bit here, but this is the point I was making with Gershwin as well. And Vivian heard me say to Gershwin, did you report it? Did you take a photograph and report it? Vivian's response is, usably, if I gave up that long ago, city should follow up with an interim meter check on the reported property. All this photo business is cumbersome. Cumbersome it may be, Vivian, but this is the new normal. It's not going to be easy. And I think we need to get over the sense that water is there and readily available and easily managed. We need to change this mindset. If that is what it takes for more people to be a bit more proactive about reporting it when they see it being abused, maybe we wouldn't be sitting with 60% still ignoring the resolutions, because they would have had some consequences because people took the time to take the photograph and send it. So, yes, it might be cumbersome and a pain, but really, how much effort does it take to snap a photograph and send a quick email?
And it's on your phone.
Is your life that busy, Vivian, that you can't be bothered to do that? I'm sorry. I don't like that email at all. That's all I'll say. I could say a lot more, but it would get me fired from the station. So, Andrea in Hout Bay would recommend that Cape Talk arranges for an interview with the management of Kirstenbosch, who've put in very innovative measures since 2015 to ensure a supply of water for the gardens. Andrea, yes, we've actually spoken about that several times with Charisse Fulyun, one of their chief horticulturists, who comes in regularly on the show. But thank you for the reminder. She is with us again next week. I think I'll make a note to ask her to recap how they've handled it. Let's go back to the lines. John in Mooi Point, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I am very much aware of, in fact, I'm just driving past a truck, happened to drive past a truck who's got a big sign on with the water and a telephone number, and they're importing this water from, it seems like from Elgin or from other side the mountain where they don't have restrictions, and I'm questioning what is the legality of using that water for filling up your swimming pool, for instance?
I don't know the answer, John.
No, my understanding is you're not actually supposed to buy water. You're supposed to only pay for the transport, which is that's my understanding of it.
I can't give an informed response to that, John. I don't know if it's been tackled on other shows. I have a feeling John Matham has done some work around the legalities of what can be charged for and what can't be, but I don't know. You have touched on something I want to mention, though. It was quite bizarre for me. On my way back from holidays, I stopped over in Betty's Bay for a night, and we were suddenly in a place where people were watering their lawns, and you know, the people we were staying with said, if you'd like to have a bath, you can. There are no water restrictions here. I couldn't do it, and I used to be a big bath fan, but I actually couldn't bring myself to do it.
I think they're wrong.
Well, I do too. It seemed strange to me that literally an hour and a half out of Cape Town, when we are in such desperate need here, there are communities going on as if nothing's happening, and they're lucky enough to have water on tap, as it were, whereas we don't. Surely some kind of I don't know, how hard is it to transport water from there to here, for example?
I think it's wrong. Because I think in Greaton we have level 4 or 4B.
It's different municipalities, yes. I think Hermanus has got one lower level. Betty's Bay itself has none. Literally differing from town to town.
It does. But that sort of side just over the mountain is less restricted than what we are.
Okay.
And, you know, all this money that we're spending on a lot of things, I would love someone to have done a costing on piping the water from somewhere where there is water, do a costing on piping it surface as against having salt water.
Desalinated water plants, yes, yeah.
I don't know if anybody's actually ever done that.
I don't know. Again, we must look into that one. White vinegar in water apparently kills mosquito larvae. I think it was Steph who sent that SMS, so maybe that's something you can try. I don't like your tone at all, says an SMS. Okay, I don't particularly mind. I really feel quite strongly about this, that we've all got to start pulling our weight. So if you don't like my tone, sorry, have a nice afternoon. Let's go back to the lines. Howard in Weinberg, good afternoon.
Hello, Tipper. I just got a comment about the sliding scale of water, the cost of water. If you're in a household with five people and you're having to pay on a sliding scale, then it's discriminating against you. If you're a household of one person, you're paying a far lower cost for water.
You are allowed to, I think, apply for an exemption if you have a household above four, was my understanding.
That's an exemption. For the maximum amount of water that you'd like to use in a month. That's my understanding.
No, my understanding is that you have an X amount of water per person per day. And if you've got four people in a unit, then you've got an X amount of water to use. If you've got six people and you can prove that you've got six people, then you've got six times that amount of water. That's my understanding of this.
That was mine as well. If anybody knows absolutely for sure that we're wrong in that interpretation, please feel free to contradict us. But that was my understanding, that you have the ability to say to council, I am a household of a larger size. Having said that, households of larger sizes must expect to pay more for water because they're consuming water.
100%.
And this is the bottom line. If you are using it, you've got to pay for it and you must expect to pay more for it. There's no get out of jail free on this one. We're all going to be sitting in jail together when day zero comes. We could have carried on for another hour, Angelo, but not the DIY segment you were quite expecting, but thanks so much. I think you've equipped yourself quite well regardless, and we'll chat to you again very soon.
Excellent.